Good morning and welcome to Nach Yomi. Today we are going to be starting Sefer Shmuel Aleph. This is Rabbi Yaakov Trump, and I look forward to this journey together as we move through a perek a day through Sefer Shmuel Aleph. There is a lot to learn, and for those who've been on the journey already for Sefer Shoftim, it's been pretty dark. And Shmuel Aleph is going to be a much better time for the Jewish people. It's going to be the rise of not just Shmuel, but the kings of Israel. And that starts at the very beginning of the Sefer. The story starts with actually a more local family story. It's about a man called Elkanah. Elkanah was a man who, ben Yerocham, ben Elihu, ben Toichu, ben Suf, was from the area of Ephrat. And it tells us that he used to make a pilgrimage quite frequently to the Mishkan in Shiloh. This already is a difference from Shoftim. The only two times that the Mishkan was ever mentioned in Shoftim was once to tell us that it was in the presence of Pesel Micha, and the other time was when finally the daughters of Binyamin, the daughters of Israel, would dance by the Mishkan in Shiloh. Those are the only two times it was ever mentioned in Sefer Shoftim. Our Sefer Shmuel starts off by talking about how there was a person who used to go up to the Mishkan, despite all the anarchy of the time, and his name was Elkanah. He was married to two wives. One was Hannah and one was Peninnah. Hannah had no children, Peninnah had many children. And as they would go up, especially at these festive times where the family would gather together, what would happen is he would give, you know, enough portions of meat and meals to his wife, Peninnah, and for her children, but he'd always give Hannah extra portions. But as they would go up, Peninnah would really, you know, make it difficult for Hannah. The way the Mefarshim explain is that she would say, "Oh, Hannah, did you see the sale at Denny's today? Oh, I forgot, Hannah, you don't have kids. Oh, Hannah, you know there's a great deal on pizza at the local store. Oh, Hannah, I forgot that you don't need so much pizza." She would do things like that to egg Hannah on, and Hannah would cry. And it talks about how on one of these occasions she was crying, and she says to Elkanah, and he says to her, "Why do you cry? Surely I'm better to you than any sons." Meaning to say, "My relationship, you're so dear to me, you're special to me." And that didn't calm her. So instead, in fact, when she realized that Elkanah wasn't worried about children as much as she was, as the Malbim suggests, she goes and she goes to the Mishkan, and she starts pouring her heart out and davening fervently to God. At this time, there's the newly installed Kohen is a man by the name of Eli. Eli is the Kohen Gadol, also actually the Shofet at this time. He's the generation's leader. And he sees her davening, and he thinks this is strange. Apparently in those days you wouldn't daven in a quiet way, in the way that she was davening. And he accuses her of being drunk. He says, "Lady, go away from the Mishkan until you've removed your alcohol." And she turns to him and she says, "Lo Adoni." She says, "No, my master, I'm not drunk. I'm a woman of very bitter spirit. Please, all I want is a child." And he turns to her and he says, "Lechi l'shalom, go in peace. You will have a child. Hashem will give you your she'ela asher she'elosecha asher sha'alt me'imoy. That which you asked for, Hashem will give you." She returns and she already feels uplifted by the bracha. She goes home with her husband, and lo and behold, they have a child. And Hashem remembers her, she has a child, and she calls him Shmuel, because Me'Hashem Shiltiv, I asked him of God. Interestingly enough, it's not Shaul, which is what the name should have been, it's Shmuel. Me'Hashem Shiltiv. That's important to note, because Shmuel is going to have a very close relationship to Shaul HaMelech, and their two names are very closely linked. Then she goes home, and when Elkanah wants to go up to the Mishkan, she actually promised Hashem in her prayers that this child would be to God if he gave him any children. So she actually owes Hashem this child, but she asks her husband to wait until he's weaned, till the age of 3. And when he's at this age, then she takes him up and sends him with her husband and returns to Eli and says, "This is the child that I prayed for. And I'm going to give him back to God. He's going to be borrowed to God for all the days that he will be." And this is the way it the perek ends. Very powerful perek. A few things just to think about. 3 points to ponder. Looking at this perek, number one is that the Gemara in Bava Basra says that Penina wasn't just a nasty person. She was actually well-intended. She really wanted to get to the point that she was so bitter and in so much pain that she would pray fervently for herself. And she actually succeeded. The problem is that the Gemara says there are two creations who were Mechaven L'Shem Shemaim. They had the right intentions. The Satan by Eov and Penina by Chana. But nonetheless, Penina suffered for this. It wasn't her role to play God. And in fact, we're going to see that as Chana has children later on, she loses two children every time Chana has one. A terrifying curse, because even though she was well-intended, she was doing something which was very painful to Chana while Chana was in it still. Another interesting point to ponder is the Vilna Gaon says a very famous idea here, that is, how did Eli get this wrong? Meaning, how did Eli mistakenly think that she was drunk? So Eli, of course, is the Kohen Gadol, and the way he divined or knew what was really going on was by using the Urim V'Tumim. Now, that's the breastplate of the Choshen, which had a special name of Hashem in the wrappings of the Choshen, and it would allow the Kohen to see the letters either bulge out or light up on the breastplate. And through which we know the names of the Shvatim of the tribes were carved onto each of these stones, and the different letters would light up to give permutations of words. So he thought to himself, and he asked the Urim V'Tumim, what's going on with this woman? And he saw the words, Shin Chof Reish Hei, appear. But of course, it wasn't just that it was, you know, you suddenly got this magic number and lottery number suddenly appeared on the Choshen Mishpat. What it meant is that those letters were a permutation of the answer. He understood that those four letters spelt the word Shikora, which means drunkard. And that's why he accused her of drunkenness. Where actually, it meant to mean Kesheira. Same letters, she is Kesheira. She is fine. But he misinterpreted it. And that's what, when she turns around, she says, Lo Adoni, she's saying, not my master. And before she says, Lo Adoni, you're not my master. If you can't really read the Urim V'Tumim, if you don't have that intuition to be able to put together the right permutation of the word, Lo Adoni, and quickly she backtracks and she tries to seek his favor, because he will be the foster parent of Shmuel after all. But nonetheless, that gives a little bit more of a sense of the type of leadership and perhaps the misconception which came into this. The last point to ponder, and with this we close, is the following. Is of course the name Shmuel is rooted in the word Sha'al, to ask, because she asked of God to him. It is interesting that there's a swing around in when she returns him to the Mishkan to serve God, because this is her dedication to God for giving her children. She says the same words, but it now means something different, which is, this is, God gave me my request, Asher Sha'alti Me'imo, which I asked of him, and Gam Onochi Hishiltihu LaHashem, I'm lending him. I'm going to be going to give this child to God. The word Sha'al both means to ask and to lend. In a certain sense, God is answering me by giving me this child, and I'm lending back to him this child. So Shmuel is very much, in a certain sense, is very much the shared child of Chana and Hashem, and she realizes that, and that's why he ends up spending his life under the tutelages in the Mishkan to be the spiritual leader that he will be. We'll go on the next part to see how he rises to his power and how Chana fully thanks Hashem for her experience. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.